say thank you. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity, and thank you for putting us in the hotel room. It was nice. I really do appreciate that, me and my family. We don't take that lightly, so we're thankful this morning to be here, and we're thankful that we didn't have to travel early in the morning from Tampa, about two and a half hours, to be here. So thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. Well, I want to introduce myself. My name is Roland Bork, and we're out of Tampa, Florida. I'm going to start over here to my right. Your left is my oldest, Jeremiah, and then our middle child, Isaac, and then my wife, Tess, and then we have one twin girl, Liberty, right here. She takes after my side of the family, and then the other twin girl, her name is Charity, which takes after her mom's side of the family. So she's the actual bad fruit right there. No, I'm joking. And then we have my brother-in-law, my wife's brother, Kinston, from Mexico, and he actually is illegal here. So I just want to take the, put that on the record that he does not have his green card or anything. So we just pray for him and that he gets his life right with the Lord. No, I'm joking. He might share his testimony as well this morning if we have time, but he actually lives with us, and he's called to preach, surrender his life for full-time ministry, so we're thankful for him and his obedience to the Lord, and he's a great, great help. I was joking about all the, he's not from Mexico, he's actually from Louisiana, and me and my family, we are church planters to Oklahoma, and we'll explain. Yes, all the kids. Go to Sunday school. It's my first time doing that. There you go. Hey, we're going to be talking about forgetfulness here in a second. So, all right, kids, you guys have fun in Sunday school. All right. Yeah, so what I was saying, me and my family, we are church planters to Oklahoma. And never been to Oklahoma. I'm going to explain a little bit more here in a second and in the next hour. Never had a desire to go there. At 11 years old, I got saved. And just under my uncle's preaching, he was a pastor. And I've seen my family get saved. And I was wondering, I was curious. And they explained, and I was convicted of my sin at that point. And eventually got saved, but at a young age, I seen my family get in church, get saved, and then at a point in our life, around 12, 13 years old, I seen us going at a decline, pretty much. My parents always had some habits that they really just couldn't put down. My mom would drink, and then my dad had some habits too. He quit the drinking, but he had other different drug habits and different things. So as a young boy, I mean, we were growing up in that, and I love my parents, I still do. But once I became about 14, 15 years old, I started to develop those habits of what my parents had. And I just seen my life really going downhill. When I look back, I seen my life going downhill. I didn't recognize it at that point, but when I look back, I seen it. And just getting kicked out of school, I find myself 16 years old in the eighth grade, which is 2 years behind, and just didn't like school, didn't want to be a part of, didn't really know, just was a disobedient child, a young man. And then I had to go to an alternative school is what it is. It's called YCP in Louisiana. Me and my family were from Lafayette, Louisiana. And I went through that. It's a boot camp. For 5 months, living on a military base, Camp Beauregard, National Guard base. You live there for 5 months, and you can possibly get your diploma if your academic level is high enough. You take the diploma, you take the GED test and get it. And I did, and it was one of the hardest things I did in my life. But I see the Lord working all in this. I see the Lord in my life with all this. And I got my diploma 5 months and wanted to do right, but just still didn't really get it. So got out, I was 16 years old, and just kind of got with the wrong crowd again and seen myself. At this point, I was 17 years old and starting to create a record, a criminal record. So I found myself in jail, found myself, you know, involved in just criminal activity, different things like that, not in church, really didn't have no desire to be in church. So I've seen myself in a jail cell, pretty much found myself in a jail cell. And again, I claimed that I knew Jesus Christ at the time. I was saved. I just didn't want to live for him. And I met a friend, and that friend ended up being my wife, and she invited me to church at the time, and I started to get in church, and you know, still not living the life I should have lived, but I started kind of, you know, drawing, getting some attention from God there, and giving some attention, trying to be faithful in church. And we got married, and we started talking and praying, and I started praying with her, and I'm like, you know, what are we doing? You know, we're in church, but we want to serve the Lord more, you know, and there's just with everything going on and with all the temptation that we have. We're living on my parents' property, and they were just, you know, it was kind of a I'm not blaming them, but it was a bad influence. It was a bad environment is what I was saying. And, you know, just dad just kind of pushing drugs out of a tire shop that he had in the front. And we're like, we just got to get out of here. You know, we're just kind of praying and asking the Lord, just kind of show us what he wants us to do. You know, how can we live a better life? What you know, and understand we have to be obedient to that. And in 2015, probably in 2014, there was an opportunity for a Bible college that came up that my pastor in Lafayette, Louisiana, he recommended. And I'm like, I'm not trying to go to Bible college. I don't want to be a pastor. You know, I don't want to do that. I don't want to. I mean, I'm okay right here. I mean, I'm making a little money. I was running my own moving service. I'm okay. I don't want to go to Bible college. But my wife and I started praying about that Bible college. And in 2015, we felt and had peace that the Lord wanted us there in Bible college. So in 2015, we packed up our U-Haul, rented a U-Haul, packed everything, sold a lot of stuff, and we surrendered for full-time ministry in 2015. Didn't know all the answers, you know, still don't know all the answers. But we packed everything and we moved to Tampa, Florida. And the Lord's been, I mean, it can't be any better than how we're living now. And just how, I mean, we're not rich, we're not, you know, but the Lord has blessed, and, you know, health and the relationship with my wife and relationship with my family, my kids are all, it's all great. It's all good. And the Lord, again, has blessed abundantly so much. So we moved to Tampa, Florida in 2015, and we enrolled in Bible college and just left everything behind, quit all the habits, just quit everything that, and we were like, we're going to serve the Lord. We can't be in and out now. We can't be this lukewarmness. We can't do this. We're going to actually be in Bible college now. You know, we're actually want to serve the Lord. We can't be just, you know, half in and half out. So we're fully committed to the Lord in 2015, and we're still praying, Lord, what you want us to do after Bible college. And in 2018, last year, the Burgett family, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Burgett family, to Japan. They were preaching at our church, Westgate Baptist Church in Tampa, Florida, and didn't really preach an Oklahoman message, but just said a few things about Oklahoma. And the Lord really just moved in my life right there in that sermon and said, I want you to start a church in Oklahoma, in the state of Oklahoma. And just a very unique message, a unique sermon for me that day. And we continued to pray. And in May of this year, we took a survey trip to the state of Oklahoma. Again, don't know all the answers. That just, you know, had just trying to be obedient to the Lord and have faith that the Lord will show us and guide us and direct us. And we took a survey trip, and we were doing a lot of praying and there and just kind of surveying the actual state. And some opportunities opened in Tulsa. And the Lord revealed some things in Tulsa that, hey, he wants us to start a church in the Tulsa area of Oklahoma. So we came back really excited, and we actually recently got there. We actually just came from there, actually, in Tulsa. This was it Tuesday of last week? We came back, and there's some opportunities there. There's about 400,000 people in that state, in that city, I'm sorry. And a couple of things. We're actually going to be moving in 2 months. We're about, as far as support-wise, we're about, there's some churches that committed, and we got to kind of figure out the details there. But around 35% of where we want to is where we're at right now. But the Lord opened up some doors where we have a house there, a temporary home from a church in North Tulsa. And we're trying to plant a church in that South Tulsa area, if you're familiar with this ORU, Oral Roberts. It's there. We don't agree with the things that they teach, but it's a popular college there. So we're praying about starting around that area, just the Lord open up some doors there. So there's actually a temporary house that a local church is actually going to let us stay at for about 6 weeks. So we're gonna stay there, and then there's a building that opened up. Now we got some loose ends to figure out there, but they're actually the owner is considering to lease the actual building to us for $800 a month, and which is a pretty good you know, because I was actually calling some schools to start, and actually the actual school is more than what he's actually offering. So we're praying about that, if the Lord wants us to start there. So they're building a house, and whenever we went last week, I was preaching at a missions conference in North Tulsa. So some families came from the South Tulsa. There's the Arkansas River actually runs down through Tulsa, and on the other side there's like Glenpool, Bixby area. And some families came from that area about 10 minutes from South Tulsa and said, there's no good independent Baptist churches around where we live. We want to be involved in the church and, you know, become members possibly. So there are actually people waiting for us there, like four or five core families that have CDL license plate, you know, play the piano, sing, whatever. So there's actually people waiting for us there. So we're excited. So through all of this that we went the last week, we said the Lord wants us there and he's going to provide, you know. So we're going to actually be moving in 2 months to the Tulsa area, and we're going to actually probably raise a little bit of support in that state. There's a couple opportunities there. So, you know, and you say, well, why Oklahoma? Why isn't that considered, you know, the Bible Belt? Well, you'd be surprised on the spiritual need of any of these states of Oklahoma, state of Louisiana. Where, but there's a spiritual need in the city of Tulsa. There really is. There's it's the statistics are really, really bad there. You know, when you think about the city of Tulsa, it's the worst city to live in the state of Oklahoma. And my video will kind of talk a little bit about that. But high teen pregnancy is bad. Public school systems is terrible, which is terrible pretty much all over the place. But that's kind of our ministry in a nutshell. As soon as we get out into the field and get established, you know, aggressive soul winning, you know, preach the word of God, that's kind of what we want to do when we want to start. Good missions program, bus ministry. I have my CDL license, so I can drive a bus or a van ministry. We just want to take families that, you know, with the help of the Lord and with the strength of God, take families that are falling apart, you know, and bring them back together and make that foundation Jesus Christ, you know, establish the foundation there, and that's Jesus Christ, and win people to the Lord and disciple them and show them. And, you know, from my background, I can relate to people that may be addicted to drugs or get into the jail ministries. We want to have an aggressive outreach to show people, hey, there's a better way to live than what you're living right now. You know, you might be struggling. Whatever you're doing, you know, there's a better way to live, and that way is Jesus Christ. He's the only way, you know. He really is. He's the only way. So at this time, I'd like to have my beautiful wife come and share her testimony. And if you have any questions, I'd be more than welcome to answer those questions.
Okay. A little nervous. I told your pastor this is the first time that I was asked to share my testimony. Growing up, I was raised in church. I'm a crier. So growing up, I was raised in church, and I remember always going faithfully, but the home was never a good foundation. Okay, so when I was about 10 or 11, I remember being at a good independent church, Bible Baptist Church in Humble, Texas, and I remember the preacher preaching on hell. And I remember walking down the aisle and accepting the Lord as my Savior. And growing up, we were moving from Louisiana to Texas. The reason was because my brothers were in and out of jail, and we were honestly trying to leave so that they wouldn't go back. And I have six brothers. Thank you. I have six brothers and no sisters. And the reason behind that was because we were taught to go to church, but we were taught to come out and not live for the Lord and be set apart. You know, the Bible says, but set yourself apart and not be of the world. And so we weren't taught that. And so with that being said, like my husband said, I met him. We were in church, but we were still being part of the world. And then April, he basically said everything of our call to Oklahoma. But in Louisiana, we got married. We were still not living for the Lord. We were doing what we were taught. Go to church, come out, put on bad music or whatever the case may be. And we weren't honoring the Lord. And so we left Louisiana in 2015. And from then on, that was actually, I was going to be 21 years old. And I asked for that for my birthday to be in Tampa, Florida. I said, I just want to leave all that behind. And I knew that was the only way that we could do that. And so we had our firstborn, Jeremiah, and what I didn't want was to raise him the way we were raised, and specifically the way I was raised, to see that you're a child of God. The main thing God wants from you is for you to present your body as a living sacrifice, and he wants everything. He doesn't just want a little bit. So since then, I'm not crying because I'm sad. I'm crying because I'm so happy that the Lord brought us from there. And now we can teach our kids to know what's right and what's wrong. And to see sin and not to want to do it and make it okay. So in 2015, we left. And we didn't look back. We have never looked back. And it's been good since. The Lord's been good to us. And if I can have Kinston share just a part of his testimony. Is that okay? So, yes, he's not going to cry. Just so you can know how he got with us and what the Lord's doing in his life.
Okay, so my name's Kinston. This is my sister Tess, as she said. At the age of 7, I got saved in a Central Baptist church in Lafayette, Louisiana. After service, I just went into my pastor's office and I said, "Pastor, I'm going to hell." And at that moment, I accepted. When I walked into his office lost, but when I walked out, I walked out saved and headed for heaven. So now I know that when I die on this earth, I won't go to hell. But at the age of 13, my mother and father were going through a divorce, and that's when I just started going away from the Lord. And my sister and brother-in-law were living in Florida already. They were living in Florida already. And every Sunday, my sister would call and say, "Are you in church?" And every Sunday, I would just give her an excuse and say, "No, I had this," or "I'm at my cousin's house," and she didn't want to bring me. So about a year later, my sister was about to have her twin girls, and she said, "Well, why don't you come over for a week and help me?" And something that I didn't realize is that week that I was going to go to her house, the Lord was going to change everything in my life. And I was going to do a complete 360 to turn, and I was going to turn from the world and look to Him. That week, the Lord, through a testimony in church, in a teen class at Westgate Baptist Church, through a testimony, God has called me to the ministry, and that's when everything changed. I stopped looking at everything behind me and my past, and I started looking to Him. And from that day forward, I never looked back, and everything in my life has been such a great blessing from God. And I thank God for my brother-in-law and my sister for taking me in. Because if they didn't have open arms, I would still be in the world listening to bad music, hanging around with bad people. And I thank God for my brother-in-law and sister. I know sometimes that I don't express that to them, but I really do love them, and I really do thank them for everything they have done for me. And so that's what happened in my life.
So, that was good. I wasn't expecting that. I really was. So, well, praise the Lord. But yeah, so we've come from a rough background, pretty much, and we want to get to Tulsa to relate with people and say, hey, we've been there, we've done that. You know, we want to get into the homes and try to establish and try to show them how to build a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's pretty bad over there. There's an opioid crisis. A lot of people are addicted to pain medication there, drugs, violence. You know, just homes are falling apart, and they're falling apart here. They're falling apart down the road. You know, so just be aware of that. And, you know, I'll say this, that to graduate Bible college, we had to, you got to write a thesis. It's a 40-page thesis. And I wrote the thesis about what the Lord has burdened my heart about, and that's the home. If the home's not right, nothing else will be right. You know, we try to maybe get in church, and church is good. But if we can't bring, you know, the Word of God into the homes, you know, well, I mean, you know, there's nothing there. There's no relationship there, you know. So we want to get to Tulsa to establish good core Christian homes where Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, is the foundation, and we're trying to get there as quickly as we can. We are praying that it is the Lord's timing. We want to make sure that the Lord wants us there, and I believe that He has confirmed that He wants us there. I'll say this. How long? When? You, is that it? 10 minutes? Okay. So some obstacles in Tulsa. I want to give some obstacles is false doctrine there. Again, ORUs there, oral robbers. If anyone's familiar with that, it's more of they teach more of the charismatic movement. Baptism off is off. Salvation's off. There's some different things off. So we'll actually struggle with that as far as trying to get across the actual truth, the actual Word of God. And then also, obviously, support is another. I'm trying to think here if there's anything else. And then also a prayer request to pray for us. There's actually a list in the back. But also pray for a starting place. You know, obviously, we know that the building is not the actual, you know, that doesn't make up the church, but the actual people do. So just pray that there's a good starting place for us. And again, there's people waiting for us there. There's people waiting for us. So we're anxious to get there and be able to serve the Lord. I'm thankful for my family. I really am to be, you know, just right on the side of me and you know, be a part of what the Lord's doing and being obedient. So I really do appreciate that. Yes, sir. Yes, that's a good question. So Westgate is going to be our sending church, and they will help us get established there. And also, there are going to be local churches there waiting for us to help us get established as well, if that answers your question. There is two for sure that I've spoke with that are on board on what we're doing. All the local guys are on board. I just got to kind of get in touch with them. I've one goal for me is to call all the local guys. I've talked to all of them except for one. That tell them, hey, this is what we're doing, you know, and if we could be a blessing to your church, let us know. But there are local guys that are really excited. The one that we just actually came from in North Tulsa, he's on board. He's going to be one of our supporting churches. And then there's one in Edmond, Oklahoma, an hour and a half away. There's also Southwest, Jason Gaddis, Heartland Bible College. They're on board as well with what we're doing. I talked to him. Yes. In the Tulsa area, in the actual Tulsa area, there's 400,000 people, and then on the outer skirts of Tulsa, with Tulsa, it's roughly, I want to say, over a million, 1.3 million people. So it's a rather large city. Any other questions? Feel free if you have a question for me or my wife, my brother, Kinston. Feel free to ask. I might not know it, but might not know the answer, but I could sure try. Any other questions? Okay. You guys are awesome. There you go.
Thank you.
You know, I'm glad we heard from the family. I'm glad we heard from you, Tess. And then remind me of your name, brother?
Kinston.
Because going to plant a church, really, you are a team. You can't do it by yourself. And that's not the way that God started the church anyway in the New Testament. He sent his disciples, but then God, through the Holy Spirit, started the church in the book of Acts when he had 3,000 people saved in one day and the church was established. And God did that. And we've already seen God begin to work and put together a team of folks there. I was thinking of, when you were sharing your testimony, I was thinking of the words of 1 Timothy. And it says, nevertheless, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. God has many servants, many Christians. And all too often Christians are living the life where they're just comfortable being status quo. And when we see folks like Brother Roland, Miss Tess, saying, you know what, I want to do something more. And they sanctify themselves. It says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared to every good work. And it doesn't mean that everybody who surrenders is going to be called to be a pastor. But if they never surrender, they'll never know. And you guys took that step, and it is phenomenal. Now, are you finished with school yet?
Yes, sir, I graduated in May.
You graduated in May, and you guys are moving in 2 months. Amen. That's exciting. And I hear statistics all the time about hundreds of independent Baptist churches closing every year in the United States. And many times it's, you know, a man in the pulpit who's up in years, can't continue the work. There's nobody to continue the work. The work dwindles and falls. A number of different things. And we do need more church planting in the United States. And it really has become a mission field. We heard from Brother Satterfield about how that other countries are sending missionaries to America now. And I thank the Lord. I encourage you to pick up a card from back at the table there. Please lift up the Borks in prayer. They're going to need it. And you're going to have to be a unit, a team, and that's exciting. All right, let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. That'll give me an extra minute or two to get ready before the morning service, and I will pray for the next service. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your servants, and thank you for what you've called them to do. And as goes the home, so goes the church and the nation, and we know that. We thank you for the burden, and pray, God, that you'd continue to have your hand on them as they grow as a family and plant this church, and we remember that it's yours, that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Bless the service to follow, and thank you again for this day. In your name I pray. Amen. You are dismissed. We'll reconvene at 10:30.